This is Mango Sorbet. Welcome to episode 3 of Taking in the Scene.
Woo!
Woo! I am joined, as always, by Denzel Darko and Warm Orange. Today, we're going to be talking about negotiating. And I think Denzel and I are going to jump in right away with a sample negotiation. So just to set the scene, this is about a 5-minute abbreviated version of a negotiation. In this made-up scenario, I'm coming to the table as a top or a dominant. Denzel's coming as a bottom. Or what would you call yourself, a submissive or something else here?
I'm going to be a submissive.
Submissive.
Right now.
Okay. Yes. Okay, cool. So we're going to dive right in with this. Denzel, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
I've seen you around. Aww. And I kind of know how you do things, and I wanted to talk to you about maybe setting up a scene one of these days.
That's fabulous. I'm so excited.
Yeah. I don't really know what to do, but I've got a couple ideas, but you know.
I'm so glad you came to the table with ideas. I'm really happy to hear that. Let's start with this negotiation with just an open-ended question. What are you interested in? What are your definite yeses?
Ooh, okay. Well, I think right now I've been experimenting with some degradation. I didn't think I would like it until I had this one scene another time where somebody wrote the word trash can on my chest. And I've never felt more seen. So with that, I've been thinking about having the possibility of words written on me.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I would say is a definite yes.
So body writing
is a definite yes. I would love to be tattooed by humiliating phrases.
That's wonderful. And can you, in terms of humiliation, because there's, you know, there's degradation, humiliation. Do you like, you know, humiliation mixed with a praise kink? So do you want to be called things like a good little trash can, or would you rather be just full, you know, degrading, like you're a worthless trash can?
You know,
and on that spectrum, where are you kind of thing?
I would like to have a little praise.
Okay.
Every now and then, you know, like I'm still working my way through it, and it's a lot.
I mean, praise and degradation go really hand in hand, so.
And I think that would help out for me because I don't necessarily, if it's our first time playing, right. I don't want to go all the way there. But you know, right. If this goes well, there could be a possibility to go further, but
completely.
For now, I would say I'm comfortable with just, you know, every now and then just be like, hey,
I love it.
You're
well,
great.
And before we get more into the nuances of like what this scene will look like, are there like limitations you have in your body, allergies or, you know, muscle restrictions, bones you've broken in the past, stuff like that, just the stuff we should consider.
Ooh, a health history update. I love this.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. So I've broken both my wrist.
Oh, okay.
And I have asthma.
So we'll keep an inhaler nearby.
Yeah, it hasn't been a problem, but I do still keep one around.
That's
so I think that'll be good to have just in case.
Yeah.
In terms of other things for my body, I can sometimes only be in a seated position for maybe 15-20 minutes
good
before I feel like I have to stretch out a little bit.
Stretch
so that's another thing. It's not necessarily like a diagnosis or condition, but it's something I know.
And it doesn't have to be a diagnosis. It can just be a comfort thing.
Perfect. And so I want to feel, you know, because again, I'm going into this. I want to have at least a little bit of establishment of some comfort.
Yeah.
So I would say, yeah, those are the only pertinent things I feel like I would actually need to discuss, or just in general, honestly. Yeah.
And as speaking of comfort levels, do you have standard safe words that you use?
Ooh.
A lot of people use the traffic light system. Is that something you use or you're familiar with?
Could you refresh the traffic light system?
I can. And just as a spoiler, we are going to discuss the traffic light system later in this episode. But as just so you know, Denzel, because I am explaining to you, red, yellow, and green are the words or the sounds you would make if your mouth was occluded in any way. Red would indicate that the scene should come to a complete stop, that after care should start immediately, that a check-in should happen, generally speaking. Yellow is basically slow down, check in with me. The scene doesn't have to stop per se, but I need to voice something or I need to clarify something or my comfort is being challenged in some way.
Okay.
And green is go, go, go. This is great. So a lot of times if, you know, let's say if we're doing a body writing scene and I'm writing on you and I'm talking to you, I might say like, give me a color. And if you're really happy with what's happening, you can say green and I'll be like, great, go, go, go. So that's what the traffic light, just very broadly what that is.
Okay. I think we can go with the traffic lights. It seems easy to understand. And if you've got an understanding, I think I can pick it up. I've heard the words around. I just didn't know the full context of them.
I appreciate you asking.
Thanks for that info.
That's wonderful. Are there any no's, strict, hard limits that you're aware of that you want to voice right now?
I would not like to be written on my face.
Okay.
Sometimes it's kind of hard to get the markers out, and it's kind of weird to explain to my parents why I have like, a whole statement on my head sometimes. I think I also don't like music. So if it's possible, I would not like to have any kind of music.
I'm totally okay
with everything else, but you know, I should rephrase it, loud music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loud music.
I hear you.
Make it feel like a spa and it'll be
great.
So no
Slipknot.
No.
We'll save the Slipknot for aftercare.
Yeah. That's
speaking
actually really
of which,
good.
And we'll wrap up this abbreviated version of this negotiation momentarily, but do you have an aftercare plan? Do you know what your aftercare needs are? Like blankets, food, snacks, shower, hugs, encouragement?
Let's see. I've only done like maybe two scenes, so I'm still kind of figuring out my aftercare. But what I found that I did like last time was some cuddles.
Okay.
That felt good. You know, pet my head a little bit. And I like chocolate.
Ah.
So if there's like I can bring some candy bars. I usually do, and if I'm trying to do a scene, but chocolate really helps with the aftercare. But usually, I think like after I've gotten to my point, I'm good to go. But until I get to that point, I would like, you know, cuddles and chocolate.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, well, I think that'll conclude our sample negotiation. And to be clear, there's so much that we didn't touch on.
Yes,
we could have spent another on aftercare alone another 20 minutes.
It could have been the whole episode.
Which we can do sometime. And as me playing the role of the top here, I didn't even really get to express that, you know, tops also need aftercare. Tops also have hard limits as a top. For instance, I, in this particular scene, might have said like, oh, a hard limit would be, using, pardon me, whoopsies, like permanent marker or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's just off the top of my head. But we have so much more to talk about. We didn't even touch on if we wanted to have, you know, genital contact involved in the scene. And if that had been the case, we probably would have had a long discussion about sexual safety, which we will do an episode on in a few episodes.
Stay tuned.
And speaking of episodes,
yes.
Can we talk about the concept? What even is a negotiation?
Great question. Why don't you tell us what negotiation is?
I'm Warm Orange, by the way. Hi. I'm here too.
DJ, whoa.
He's jumping in. I know.
It was like 8 minutes of me not being there. And,
and you all missed him.
I panicked too.
And I know he missed it too.
I missed it too. I just love hearing myself talk. No, I'm joking.
That's why we have a podcast. We all do. It's fine.
Yeah.
But no, what is a negotiation? So negotiation, I was not prepared to answer this question.
It doesn't have to be a strict definition. When I say negotiation, mm-hmm. what pops in your head?
When you say negotiation, it's basically just establishing the ground rules of what you're going to do and then kind of synchronizing expectations and what's actually going to happen. Because one of the things that you find very often when it comes to debating, and spoiler alert, I like to debate a lot, apparently. apparently. One of the things that you find when you're debating is that there are a lot of people who sometimes will assume one thing and it's not that one thing. And it, the issue is not that you disagree. It's just that you've defined the thing differently. So
I really like that you said, I think you used the word sinking your expectations. I would say adding on to that, it's also ensuring as best you can that everyone is safe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good point. So along with sinking the expectations is saying like, you know, I have a general expectation of safety. How do you practice safely?
Right, right, exactly.
And like, that's not to say you can't do things that are potentially dangerous, like knife play or fire play or even even fluid exchange. Mm-hmm. Fluid exchanges can be potentially dangerous, but establishing that you're both, you're sinking your expectations, you're on the same page about what happens if X happens, like you, what happens if you are doing knife play and a hard limit is that you don't actually want to be cut or you don't want blood to appear and that happens. What happens then? What do you do then? I mean, this is why a negotiation, I'll just say from my perspective, when I negotiate, it's a, I wouldn't call it a date. It's a full sit down with the person or persons, and it can last 1 to 2 hours. And I also don't play that day. The day I do the negotiation, I don't play, which makes pickup play for me basically impossible. But I'm also at peace with that.
Yeah.
What do y'all do when you negotiate?
I like how you're saying that it's like a full-on sit-down. It is. It's an interview. Like it's a job interview. Like I'm interviewing you to come into this thing that I want to do. So how do I like I want to know. And I think that's the thing for me is like, I got to have information. Like I would rather have information overload than underload in a negotiation. I would rather know all the little details.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. And communication, like you got to be able to communicate. And in order to also negotiate, I think like you got to think about when the negotiation happens, like what kind of headspace are you in? What kind of state of mind? Like, are y'all about to negotiate after y'all have been like 6 shots in and then y'all about to go play afterwards? Like that, I wouldn't consider that a safe negotiation at all.
If alcohol's involved, I'll just say from my perspective, it's not a negotiation because I like to say if you're too drunk to drive, you're too drunk to give consent, and a negotiation has, you know, that's, it's all about consent. Speaking of which, what is the role of consent here? I guess for me, it's pretty enormous.
I was going to echo the same thing you're saying about drunk driving. If you're too drunk to drive, you're too drunk to negotiate. The role of consent is to find out where everybody stands. I still stand by my original statement of synchronizing expectations, because there's different things called risk profiles, which we'll talk about in a different episode later.
Can you give us a preview?
Yeah. So one of the most common ones is CCC. I said out loud. I forgot what it was. Consensual, committed, and I'm in spotlight.
We'll return to it. Yeah.
Let's pretend I remember that. But you have different risk profiles. Prick is one that's let me just look at my list. I was going to interject just to finish the thought out so I don't leave people hanging. Even though I can't remember their actual profiles, I'll bring this up in a second. The idea is that if somebody subscribes to one set of ideas relative to their risk profile, relative to what risk are they willing to take with a kink scene, because there's a lot of unknowns in kink, just like in life. If one person subscribes to one risk profile that's not compatible with another, that's what negotiation is for. That's the role of consent, is to synchronize your.
So what would that look like in reality?
And also, I would say that even though y'all have similar risk profiles, still wouldn't you want to have the negotiation regardless? Yeah. Like I would do a negotiation with anybody, period. Like it doesn't matter if we've matched and we've got this connection already established. Like a scene is different than friendship.
Yeah.
And if we're going into that, like I need to know, like, are you going to have me in a way that you have not had to have me before?
Yeah.
Because this is going to be a different approach. Yeah. I'm giving you a lot more, it, you know, depends on the scene, but like I'm giving you a lot more agency and a lot more control over me.
It's a lot of vulnerability involved.
Yeah. So
From both sides of the slash or whatever dynamic you're using, there's a lot of vulnerability that goes into that. I mean, like I've both topped and bottomed. And sometimes actually I feel more vulnerable as a top because I've been given such a weighty responsibility. So that's negotiating as a top so that you know, like you might cross a line. That is always a possibility. You might, you know, touch on a limit that you didn't mean to touch on.
Right.
But knowing ahead of time what to do if that happens, or how to how the other person's going to react, or how you can provide comfort or encouragement afterwards. I would also say if you're coming to the table as a bottom, just doing some self-inquiry before you do that, knowing you know, no understanding your desires, you know, like if you come to the table thinking like, I really want to do this intense writing scene, but I also want to include anal play in it and maybe some consensual non-consent. Like you have, you might have these desires, but understanding what your limits are, where you need things to stop, where you need care, where you, what you need for aftercare. I'm rambling now, but the point is you have to understand both your desire and what your limits are.
Right.
And be able to articulate them.
Yes and no's, and not to, just one or the other.
To jump in and answer an earlier question of like when you talk about incompatible risk profiles, we might consider it a casual thing, but before this episode, we negotiated the negotiation.
It was like inception.
We did. That's so true. Tell us about that.
Talk about it. What did you want and what did we want and how did we get to the point?
And how did we get to... I love it. We did negotiate that. That's so true.
We negotiated the negotiation.
But it was a perfect example to answer the question of what does it look like when there's incompatible risk profiles, which, you know, you can consider this minor or major, but I still consider it incompatible risk profiles, where in my mind, where I do kink so casually to where I might have the same investment that other people might have. So it might be a situation to where, so you two might have a little bit more invested in the actual expectations of kink or the parameters of kink, if it makes sense. Yeah. I feel like I said the same thing twice, but ultimately what I'm trying to say is that the risk profile in this situation is that kink is so casual and kink is like going to a bar type thing, whereas somebody else might invest it more. Like kink is, I have to have that emotional connection. I have to have this investment. I have to have this, I don't know, whatever parameters they might have. And that's an example of incompatible risk profiles. Now, granted, risk profile is probably not the best definition for that.
That being said, when you tie with people, you inquire about how their bodies are feeling that day. You inquire about if anything has changed for them, what points they do and don't want rope touching. I mean, you do a negotiation within your rope scenes that might feel more casual, but you're still checking in. Like, I firmly believe you've never put anyone in a position where they felt like they couldn't tell you their limits, or they felt like you were violating their limits in some way, and they couldn't, they didn't feel safe. Like that, you negotiate those things. You might not set them aside. Like I said, I like to sit down with someone. Maybe we go to a coffee shop where there's lots of people. So we're not like in a place where we're tempted to play right away. But like I do that. You still negotiate. I don't know if it's, maybe it's, you call it casual, but I don't know if casual is the word I would use.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel like you're saying, like, it
not
doesn't
like the
have
interview,
to feel
like
a job interview. And that's the thing is like, negotiations have, I guess, like everything else, like different flavors and approaches to them. But as long as the core of a negotiation needs to be there regardless, I think that communication, the expectations and realities and the sinking of those things. Those things need to be present. It doesn't necessarily matter, like, you know, what are y'all wearing to the negotiation or what time of day it is.
Like, it's a business casual.
Exactly. Business casual.
I'm also such an intense person that like, I am not chill. People are like, I'm laid back. I'm chill. I'm like, I'm not chill. I would like to discuss everything on my checklist.
Right now.
Well, so that can bleed into the next part of this one point that we're making, which is desires and intentions. I feel like desires and intentions need to be taken into account strongly when negotiation. And it's why negotiation is recommended, you know, just rolling it all together. Because if you are trying to negotiate with somebody and your desire is one thing and your intention is another thing, like,
what do you mean by intention here?
Yeah. So desire and intention, like if my intention is I would like to do a scene with this person to practice this scientific rope thing that I'm thinking about, because I always do things hashtag for science. but if my intention is to practice a scientific thing, so that means that I'm going to have a certain amount of casuality with my scene and a certain more scientific scrutiny, if you will, of my scene, where somebody might just want to do a kink scene to, like, you know, look pretty, or they might want to do a kink scene to feel pain or something. Whereas my intention is to test a theory.
I see what you're saying. So you might have different intentions.
Right, right. Their intention is to feel pain.
I think that's fine, though, as long as both people know what each other's intentions are. Like, I think the thing we have to remember is that tops do not read minds.
Yeah.
And bottoms do not read minds. Right. So even if you think we've connected,
right.
and you know my desires.
Right.
You're not gonna know my desires unless I tell you them.
Yeah.
And it's better to go ahead and air it out and be like, this is my desire. Mm-hmm. This is what I intend to get from this scene. You do both of those things, then somebody at least has it, gives them more understanding of how to go through the scene. And then again, if the desire and intention doesn't get met, what do we do?
Right.
As opposed to you do a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards you get a text message like 2 months later, by the way, that scene we did.
One cool.
Yeah. Well, I ain't rocking it.
And to be clear, and we'll talk about red flags at some point, to be clear, you know, not everyone comes to negotiation with pure intentions. They come.
Oh, true. Say that.
You know, some people in the, in any community.
I don't say how to say it. Send it. No.
send it.
Full send.
Yeah. I mean, like, if some people come in any community, there are people with bad intentions. And a lot of people will come to a negotiation and they'll say what you want to hear. Ooh, and then during the scene, you know, limits will be pushed or coercion will occur. And it's important for everyone to know, not even just kinky people, but consent can be rescinded at any time.
Yes.
Any time. Also, your negotiation doesn't have to be a one-time event. You can say, I'm not happy with, you know, this part of our playing and I want to change it.
Mm-hmm. And you can negotiate in a scene. You know,
depending
on your dynamic or your relationship or how
there's particular conversations and controversy with that one. I don't know. I feel like that should be his own episode of renegotiating.
We got time.
We could talk about it.
90-minute episode.
Oh my god, this is gonna be a running joke. Every episode is gonna be a 90-minute episode.
Well, so just to clarify too, on the synchronizing negotiations and desires and intentions, in the concept of renegotiation, hinting at a little bit, there's a scene that I had where I tied somebody because, you know, I just, like I said, I like to do things for science. So I mean, and I do it so casually that I don't really care. Just as me throwing
casual
qualifying
science.
Words.
Casual. That's what you call it, kink.
Casually, but what's the word? Smartly.
Yep. Informed.
informed. Casual but informed. There you go. But I did a scene with somebody, and like after the scene, like he was like, hey, that was great that we did the scene and stuff. He's like, hey, do you do pegging too? I was like, whoa. All right. So for me specifically, because my kink is so casual, I don't mix kink and sex, me specifically. However, we had not negotiated this prior because it wasn't relevant in my particular mind. I was just tying rope on this person on their leg and doing a chest binder and all this stuff, doing some fun stuff. And then afterwards, the person who was being tied, the person that we're done with our scene, said, hey, do you do pegging? And his intention did not match my intention in that moment, and also didn't match my intention overall.
To be fair, though, the scene was over.
Well, I mean, the scene was over, but
he was negotiating. He was starting a negotiation outside of a scene, technically speaking.
So the issue is like, the jarring nature of the situation of we just did this rope scene and I viewed it this way, so my intention and desire bubble and all that stuff was fulfilled.
I think his intention was probably, I can't speak for him, but his intention was probably the same. I have a very delicate question to ask you.
Sure.
You're straight, yeah?
Yes, I am.
So do you think maybe some of the jarringness of that question relates to the fact that this was something that you're... Mm-hmm. entirely not interested in regardless?
Well, also I should throw in some more context. This is at a place, a local event that was not sex positive. So it was also jarring because this person was relatively new to the scene. And then we just did a rope scene. And then they said, hey, I'm going to do pegging. Do you want to do pegging with me? Can you do pegging for me? And it's like, all right, there's like a few layers of like, that's not my intention. I don't want to do this. You can say there's some sense of like, I don't know if they actually identify this.
I mean, like, they're new to the scene, but I actually don't think they did anything wrong. I don't think they negotiated poorly. I think they were.
I think it just shocked
just
you.
The event itself wasn't sex positive doesn't mean. Mm-hmm. This person was probably saying, do you want, by the way, I hate the term pegging. It's just.
Well, which was also, it's like, why would you be pegging?
Just call it sex. Just call it.
Right.
That's an aside. My point is, he was starting a new negotiation, probably for a scene that he meant to occur at a different time.
Well, also, this might be a spoiler too. this might be a spoiler too of my views on renegotiating during a scene.
During a scene; it was after a scene.
I mean, we hadn't done aftercare yet. I mean, like, is that considered not a part of the scene?
Did you establish aftercare with him?
No.
Well, then your scene was over. Then you hadn't established that.
Yeah, you can't.
This is why, by the way, you shouldn't negotiate casually because. You just said the scene wasn't over because we hadn't done aftercare, but you hadn't negotiated aftercare.
Well, it could be discussed. Over. And also the context of aftercare in the sense that we did a leg tie, we did a chest binder tie. The concept of aftercare at that point is like...
But you never know.
Nothing can be assumed.
Hold on. Not mind readers.
Just to dig myself a little deeper hole here.
I was going to say, dig this grave.
When it comes to the concept of negotiation, the reason why some people might have views on not renegotiating, and this is going off script, but we'll just go with it.
We don't have a script.
Off script.
We do, because we have discussion points, but keep going.
DJ Woe going off.
Going off Full script. Send.
But the reason why people don't like to do that is because there's this concept of what's called drop. So you either have top drop or you have bottom drop, or you have sub drop, or dominant drop. Basically, it's a concept that you get the same highs that you feel chemically in your brain that you would get from, you know, possibly doing drugs or possibly enjoying.
I agree with this. What you're saying right now, I fully support what you're saying. I think
just as
you shouldn't negotiate when you're drunk, you shouldn't negotiate during a drop.
Right.
That being said, you know, I've been in a relationship with two tops for 2+ years, and we. You know, like, it's slightly different for us. You know, we will be in a scene and maybe introduce something that we've previously talked about or not. And I depends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's contextual.
I would say if you're new to playing with someone, I agree. I would agree with you.
Yeah. Right.
Well, also, just to once again continue to dig my own hole.
You're not digging.
Well, no.
Well, if you want to dig, I ain't gonna stop you.
I mean, you're definitely wrong about everything, but it's fine.
But that's what we're here to do.
I'm trying to reinforce the idea of the situation because, like, the more I'm running back in my mind, because I like to be hypercritical myself. So here it is. I think the impetus of the question that was presented of, was it that you're a cis straight male and you were asked to do pegging with another presumably male, was that the jarring part? For me, the jarring part was for me the jarring part was more so we did a thing that was completely non-sexual and you just jumped straight to sexual. I just met you, like, this feels like a violation of, like, it feels like you're taking way too many. You skipped.
Did you clarify to this person ahead of time that for you, kink tying and kink is not sexual?
It wasn't relevant from the perspective.
Oh, that's
just to clarify.
I've tied with people I'm tied, they fuck me when I'm in rope, and I've tied with other people where it's clothed, we're chatting.
It's super relevant.
It's super relevant. Everything you're saying is like.
Well, okay.
This is why we negotiate.
And to dig my
this is the example that we needed.
Let him dig. Go ahead.
Professional hole digger here. The reason why I keep saying it's not relevant, the reason why I'm standing by that premise is because, and once again, the context of the original.
You were at a non-sex positive party.
It was a non-sex party. This is a person, and I'm giving you guys more context. This person was relatively new to the scene. This is the first time I had seen it with him. And for me, the jump from we just did a cool rope scene that I enjoyed to let's do sex thing or let's do pegging thing or some sexual interaction was a bridge too far for me specifically. Now, for this person, if I had known this person for a while and then they want to do pegging, I was like, yeah, well, I wouldn't do the pegging, but I can definitely help set up the scenario because I got toys and I can help you out with that. I'm not averse to doing sexual things. It's just you got
to. But I think I think
I'd object to the word jarring. If someone said to me, like, hey, do you want to do fire play with me right after we'd done a scene? It wouldn't be jarring. I would just say like, oh, I'm actually not into that, but thank you for asking.
Yeah. And
which, okay, it's fair.
And also like, when you think about it, if you had a successful scene with somebody, yeah, you've now been like, hey, look, that vulnerability that I showed you in this scene, you have genuinely taken good care of it. And now I feel like I can trust you with another thing. So here's another thing that's on my list.
Yeah.
And I just want to see what your thoughts are.
So to morph this from a positive resolution to a narcissist moment, you're saying I'm just so good at scening.
Yes, we're saying he's
like, I mean, you do it so casually. You got to be an expert at it. If it's just like you wake up and it's an everyday thing.
Oh, press the top button. Sorry. The screen went off on one of the devices, but
there we go.
But going back and bringing it back into the talking points that we have, because we just kind of sort of talk about commentary on flexible negotiations, which I obviously am against to
a
certain
good
degree.
Term for it, flexible.
I would say I'm also against it, but I would also say like just like it depends. I'm not gonna tell anyone who's listening like don't do this, do this. Like just
be smart.
Yeah, like think it through, talk it through with your partner.
Mm-hmm. And
don't coerce.
Yeah, trust you. If you're on the opposite side, you know, we're talking a lot about the bottom's experience, but like also if you're a top, like, yo, have some fucking understanding and be like, yo, this is, we don't need to do this.
Right.
Like, it just have, I think the most important thing, and I feel like this is a message for like kink period, trust your gut.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Trust your gut no matter
what.
Yeah,
I mean, I think when you talk about renegotiating the scene, the first thing I think of is fake DOMs who try to coerce you to doing things that you sort of already expressed you don't want to do or something you hadn't previously discussed. And that gives me the willies because
so
fake DOMs are just gross.
Mm-hmm.
And I can absolutely define what a fake DOM is.
Gosh.
People aren't aware.
Hashtag
can,
fake
can you,
DOM.
Can you define it for the culture?
For me, a fake DOM is, oh, so many things. I guess I can't define it quickly, but a fake DOM is someone who takes on the title of a dominant or a dom so that they can effectively commit their abuse. So they can commit SA so that they can harm people and then say, well, this is just BDSM. This is what we do. This is impact play. You said you were okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fake DOMs use the platform that is kink, BDSM, fetishes, what have you. They use that platform to do harm, usually knowingly, sometimes unknowingly.
But more often than not.
More often than not, it's knowingly. And if it's unknowingly, hopefully they're open to hearing where they went wrong.
Yeah.
But I think those are the people who... where we say like don't renegotiate during a scene, but like I've been with my partners for years and we don't renegotiate, but we will introduce concepts and ideas and toys.
Concepts and ideas,
fake DOMs.
Speaking on concepts and ideas,
we'll talk about fake DOMs another time.
To run out this particular section on logistics and negotiation, are there any particular
how rigid orange?
I know.
Well,
it just comes in like
just like to finish this section.
It's like a 90-degree angle. Just
yeah.
I don't care where y'all are going.
We love it.
You keep us on track because we could just go left.
And you let us make fun of you.
Yeah. That grave is looking deep.
Okay, finish this section, Orange. Let's do it.
Go ahead.
What's the last point in this section?
Dig all the way to the center of the earth.
The last few points of this particular section are just the concept of trying to do a negotiation, because the negotiation you two did was a sample one.
Right.
And we talked about there was a negotiation before the negotiation. And we also talked about a few different aspects of flags and stuff. But are there any particular things that you would recommend people can do when they're trying to set up a negotiation, like reach out to references or do things like have a negotiation in public or have it only at play parties or something like that?
I mean, I think everybody's answer is going to be varied, you know, based on how it is. But like for me, I think there needs to be that clear conversation. And also, I think there needs to be a clear introduction that sometimes the introduction and the conversation don't happen same day.
That's true.
Like somebody might message you and be like, hey, I'm interested in, doing something with you. And now it's in my head like, okay, you're interested. Now I can say, hey, are you cool to like have a conversation at this date?
Right.
Instead of sometimes like, you could just get blindsided and be like, yeah, you know, you're just at like, you know, a slosh and somebody's like, yeah, I want to play with you. And it's right. like, okay, mm-hmm. I wasn't prepared to have the discussion yet. Right. So let me reel back in.
So what you're saying is giving people a container.
I think so. I think there needs to be an initial introduction.
I agree.
Then we can have said conversation. Cause if I have enough time,
to agree to negotiate.
Yeah.
You
got to negotiate the negotiation.
Yeah. I mean, I know it sounds a little, it's like, ha ha ha, we're laughing at it, silly, but you know, like, as Orange said, we do some potentially risky things.
Oh yeah.
And, I think that all of the risky things are welcome here, but they all, you need to be aware of what they are mm-hmm. and what you're willing to do. I do think getting references is a good idea.
Yes.
In my opinion, I also think having a place to meet that's public mm-hmm. and establishing mm-hmm. that, again, this is my preference, establishing that play is not going to happen in the same mm-hmm. breadth of that negotiation conversation. Or establishing like, yeah, like after we're done negotiating, we can like kiss goodbye or whatever, you know, like just establishing what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I recommend bringing a checklist. And it can be your own checklist. It can be one you found online.
Yeah, there's plenty.
You know, like yes, no, maybe lists are long. So maybe looking through one and picking the things you want to discuss.
What's a yes, no, maybe list?
That's a great question. Orange, thank you. You can Google yes, no, maybe lists. There are these long, long, almost exhaustive lists of like various kinks and fetishes that exist. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of checklists where you can say, yes, I'm interested. No, like, no, maybe I'm interested. For mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. That's not perfect because, of course, there are soft and hard limits. Mm-hmm. And I guess you can say a maybe is a soft limit.
But it's very, very vague.
It's vague. I think for me, that's why when you come to the negotiation, you come with your own list of hard limits, your own list of soft limits, your own list of bodily restrictions, but also emotional restrictions, psychological restrictions.
Oh, emphasis on emotional restrictions because, my God, some people like to cross bridges.
Yeah. I mean,
it's fake very
doms.
Delicate.
fake dom. Fake dom.
Fake dom.
Fake dom.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the fake dom voice. I love it. Whenever we talk about them, I'll ask you to do that.
We might have a fake dom in our next episode.
Yes.
I got a question. I got a question.
What's the question?
Do y'all think bottoms should be referenced and vetted? Because usually we talk about tops.
Yeah.
How do you feel about
absolutely.
A bottom?
Yeah. If someone wants references, it doesn't matter what your role is. If someone comes to the negotiation table and says, can you provide references?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Then it doesn't matter who is what part of the dynamic.
Okay, yeah. So bottoms out there, you know. Get your references. Same way that Uber drivers get reviewed by their Uber riders,
right.
The Uber riders, drivers review the
riders. So
are the
Uber drivers the tops or the bottoms in this situation?
I think the Uber drivers.
yes.
Full
send. They're switches.
They are.
The Uber drivers are the middles because
there
technically,
you go.
Technically they're submissive to Uber, but then they're dominant
middle
to the
rider.
Middle
is its own term. Middle is not. Do you mean switch?
Yeah.
Well, but I also want to emphasize that it's not just tops and bottoms. There's middles.
That's
there's,
right. There's yeah.
There's tangents. There's also sorry. Going complete tangent from this one.
Yes. 90 degrees.
I love it.
Well, no, but going into the negotiations, we talked about aftercare. Is it possible for you to expand a little bit on aftercare since we apparently have plenty of time to talk about this?
Yeah, I can definitely expand on aftercare. I love aftercare. Aftercare is still part of the scene for me, by the way. Like, mm-hmm. it's, I say part of the scene because it's part of the container of a scene.
I see.
In that it's basically necessary.
So should it be negotiated?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
I asked a leading question.
If I were, lead away. That's a great question. If I were in a scene with a dom, and they had gotten done with, you know, a mix of maybe impact and, you know, degradation with some praise. And then they got up and left. Oh, my God. I would be like, first of all.
Instant betrayal.
First of all, never playing with that person again. Like. And also, I'm going to tell people about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I know what my aftercare needs are. And by the way, if you come to the table and you don't know what your aftercare needs are, that's okay too.
That's totally
you can
fine.
Say,
especially if you don't know.
Can we experiment with Like, some people need to shower right away afterwards. Mm-hmm. I don't need to shower right away afterwards, but I am because I'm very concerned about sexual health.
Right.
It is very important for me to pee after sexual contact, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So peeing is part of aftercare for me. I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but I need to go pee after aftercare. And sometimes my top will say, like, go pee now.
Wait, just to clarify, you need to pee after the scene.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Okay. I missed that.
After
sexual contact with my genitals, which, So, I misspoke. I've got all these words running around in my head.
Words. Heterogeneous. But
pulling in inside jokes, as always.
Next thing you know, we'll be talking about the cheese.
But, like, I also love, like, blankets afterwards. I like encouragement afterwards, you know, kind words. I also like to, you know, like, this is sort of moving away from the scene, but I also like to, like, do, you know, regular activities, like, play a game of Scrabble or, like, go out to dinner. Yeah, like, especially because... In my case, my play partners are also my partners. But even if they're not also your partners, you can establish, like, I'd like you to bring me snacks or, and, like, I talked recently actually with one of my tops about what kind of aftercare he wanted. And he said he really appreciated hearing what I liked and what I didn't like during the scene of like a debrief. And that happens like right after the scene. Tops, and I was like, that's aftercare. Great for me because I love telling my tops, like, I liked this. I didn't. I usually don't dislike anything because we've been playing for a while. But early on, there were definitely things where I was like, oh, I like this. I didn't so much love that. But you have to negotiate your aftercare. You have to negotiate that aftercare should happen if you need it to happen.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what aftercare you need, you should establish that with your play partner and say, can we experiment with aftercare. I might need this. I might need that. I'm not sure.
Go ahead. I was going to say the way I view the whole scene setup process is like a movie.
Yeah.
So like you have your prologue.
You're storyboarding.
Or exactly. That's exactly what it's like.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God. Here's the prologue. And that's the negotiation, like the negotiation prologue. And then the whole movie is the scene, right? And then there's the aftercare, which is like the post-credits.
You don't have to follow the script exactly.
You don't.
Sometimes you can even flip the script.
Flip the script.
Why would you? Speaking of flipping the script, though, like on the concept of... concept of negotiations, it's like, on the concept of aftercare, it is important to highlight that aftercare is not just for the people involved in the scene. Sometimes it can be for the people around the scene. So more specifically, or it can involve, I should say, not be about. I do scenes very casually, as I mentioned before, and advertised before, to the point to where there's some people that I've seen with, where it's like, they know that I don't really do much high intensity with stuff, but sometimes I need things that I don't want to do. So let's say there was a person more specifically that after the scene happened, she wanted to do sex things, but I wasn't particularly sexually interested in this person. And I was not, it wasn't a line I want to cross, particularly with this person. So as a result, the negotiation was for us to do our scene. We negotiate our scene. And then after she said, okay, and then I'm going to go to my partner. We're going to do sex things, but I'll check in with you afterwards. I'm orange, just to let you know that I'm fine. Because for me, it's like, I don't want to just leave you hanging.
Right.
But that also, from the top's perspective, could seem like I'm just leaving you hanging. Yeah. Like, we do our scene, and then you go to your partner, do sex, and
come
back.
Well, that just sounds like you've included a third person in your negotiation.
And I was about to say, like, how do y'all feel about, do you have to be physically present for aftercare?
That
seems like where you were going is, like, if you're a top and you know your limits are, like, I don't want to do the thing you do for aftercare, but you have somebody else who will do that, like, how, you know, is that a feasible way to be like, okay,
if you've negotiated it
with that other person,
you,
like,
go for it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you where, like, you can't just do it and then be like, yeah, just because, well, you don't want to do butt stuff, I'm going to go ahead and, like, drop you off at your front door. And then somebody else, you know, I think it's good how y'all are saying that we need to, if there's going to be other people included in aftercare, which is totally fine.
Yeah, which you should also negotiate.
But they need to know.
Yeah.
They need to know. Maybe they're present through the whole scene. maybe they're present through the negotiations, but they need to have the same level of information and understanding. So yeah. It doesn't like find left field and you're like, whoa.
Can I pull an orange and just swerve us to another topic?
Yes.
Yes. I will swerve it back if we have time left.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Something I really want to discuss is like basically red flags in negotiation.
Oh, yes.
I really want to touch on this. And I actually have this... it wasn't a negotiation, but I saw on someone's FetLife profile something that I really wanted to bring to this, especially when it comes to negotiations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This person had written on their FetLife profile, boundaries are meant to be pushed, but respect is always key. And I was like, boundaries are never meant to be pushed. Mm-hmm. You can play with soft limits if you've negotiated that.
Right.
But boundaries are boundaries. That's like saying, like,
push the wall.
Yeah, push the wall. You can't do it. They're not meant to be. Mm-mm. So the reason I bring that up is because a lot of fake doms. Speaking of red flags in negotiation, have this idea when they come to the table that everything is like fluid. Everything is loose. Like they might hear like I don't want to be hit on my thighs ever. Right. And they might say, that's part of kink. I'm going to do that anyway.
I'm going to do it because it's what I want to do.
Because it's what I want to do.
And boundaries are meant to be put.
Also, just to echo the same flags, is like when you talk about people who are being bratty. So like, because I do my scene so casually, I like to be a jokester and all scientific about it, just to kind of take the edge away for some people. Once again, making it about myself here. But one of the things that I've been dubbed was being a bratty top.
Yeah.
Which the concept of bratting, if you're not used to king scene, is just kind of like, you know, you want to push the rules. And in the traditional sense, the default, if you will, that exists in the king scene, brats are usually bottoms, and it's usually the top who's the person who's like the brat tamer or brat breaker or whatever you want to call it. So they tell the brat to do a thing, or they try to do a thing with the brat and the brat fights back. But the goal of the brat in this default scenario I'm explaining is usually to lose. So they want to put up a fight, they want somebody to fight back, and they want to say, I'm overpowered. And that's
he means win. Submit.
Yeah. Right. So submit, right. They're being, it's kind of a very, very,
and bratting,
very soft
is
CNC
negotiated consent, thoroughly. Which is, I think, what Orange is saying. Like, you negotiate how you brat with someone. You don't.
And I'm a bratty top.
Well, not only that, this is like bratting is usually a very specific parameter. Right. Whereas if somebody says, I'm a bratty top, that you told me this limit, well, I'm a bratty top, I'm going to break it. It's like, whoa, that's not a bratty top.
That's not a bratty top. Yeah, that's a fake dom, exactly. Like, right. I have some bratty tops, and they... Mm-hmm. They are very sassy.
Right, right.
Often.
Yeah.
But I mean, even that's within the context of like, they're going to be bratty from the perspective of, I know what parameters I can play with.
Exactly.
As opposed to, I'm just going to break everything.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes if someone says I'm a bratty top, and they're using it, like you said, Orange, to break boundaries and limit hard limits.
And also realize that red flags exist in the negotiation phase.
Like
you don't have to wait till the scene is happening to recognize like, oh fuck, I made a bad move. Like and that's again going back to trusting your gut. If somebody off rip, you can just tell that, like, you know, you were using the example of like, you're saying, hey, I don't want to ever get hit there. But if in negotiation they're like kind of pushy about,
if they're coercing
and they're like, well, what if I do it, what are you gonna do?
Or if they're trying to get a yes, if they're saying, oh, but I really like doing
that's my forte,
like I'm really good at it, like I'll do it well so that you like it. Like if they're trying to angle for a yes and you've already said no, even if they're being really nice about it, that's a red flag.
So I would like to propose the idea of naming our super dom, naming him Timothy.
I was gonna go with Kenny.
Super dom.
Kenny. Super dom.
Wait, is super dom good or bad?
No, bad. Sorry, I'm fake dom.
Kenny.
So yeah. Fake dom Kenny.
I like Kenny.
Okay, go for Kenny. We're gonna have a listener named Kenny who's gonna be like, guys,
you've ruined my name. we appreciate you, Kenny.
Profile name
for playing around with
us. Kenneth?
Yes, that's a fake dom name.
Kenneth is the real name, but Kenny is what he calls be edgy.
Okay. Kenny with an I.
Kenny. Kenny.
Kenny.
Kenny.
Yeah. And he totally pretends he knows everything about Japan, too.
Oh,
also, gosh. As soon as I said that, I finally processed what Denzel was saying. It's like, I apologize, Kenny and Kenneth's and Kenny with an I, who exists out
yeah.
there. For if you're listening, I love you. I appreciate you. And I don't know about the other two. I won't speak for them. But.
We appreciate all Kenneths.
But not fake Dons.
But not fake Dons.
And I think, I was going to say something about fake Dons. I think I was going to say you can detect the fake Dom if they are only out for themselves.
Right.
Like, they are inserting themselves into every moment of the conversation, here's what I was going to say. Mm. They always believe that they're the exception to whatever boundaries. And that's why they push the boundaries. Yeah. It's like, no, you've just had bad Doms in the past. But when you're with Kenny, Kenny knows what to do with you.
Yeah.
And Kenny's going to take good care of you. Right. So it's like, no, Kenny, I'm telling you this.
Yeah.
Because you are not an exception to said rule.
Along with that, they're trying to get their needs met and not addressing what your needs are.
Exactly.
So if they're saying, like, I want this, I want this, I want this, and they're not asking you about things like aftercare, or they're not asking you about, like a important question is, like, if you're having sexual contact in that container of a scene, do you need to orgasm or do you not? Right. Like, if they're not asking about your needs, your pleasure, what you're getting out of this from the side of a top or a bottom, if they're not asking, if they're not expressing their needs and asking about yours, and they're only expressing their needs and trying to get their needs met, that's a Kenny.
That's a flag. So again, negotiations have flags.
Yes, negotiations have flags. And on the note, just to make it a little bit more visceral for people, especially if you're on FET too, you see it happen all the time where some people post photos and then some people comment, and sometimes the comments are cross lines. You two are probably way more aware of that than I am.
Oh my God, it's so nasty.
The one perfect example I was going to throw was that there was a person, I'm going to make it slightly a fantical scenario, because there's a combination of
fantical.
It's a combination of one of my partners that I actually had in real life that wasn't kinky, but it's also I've seen versions of this.
Okay, give us the fantical scenario.
So if there's a situation to where somebody posts a photo of, like, oh my gosh, I got so, assuming this person's a assigned female at birth or AFAB, and say, oh my gosh, I got so wet from that one time, I'm never really this wet, and then, like, it's almost guaranteed you will see a comment saying, well, I can make you wet, and I can do this from the kinnies out there, from the fake Doms.
Oh, right. But it's not just Kenny's.
But in the case of my partner that I'm using, that I'm inserting into the scenario, for her, she has, like, a chronic dryness thing with her body. It's something with the way her body works, to where, and once again, this is a fanciful scenario, but what I'm saying is, you don't know the story behind this person's reason for not wanting to do XYZ, but the people who have no regard for that and just kind of barrel through and just insert themselves, like you pointed out.
Yeah. I was going to say, you don't even need to know their reasons to not do that. Yeah, you shouldn't have to have reasons to not insert yourself that way.
Well, I mean, but also just to highlight, like, if somebody says, oh, this is the first time I've ever gotten this wet before, it's like, oh yeah, well, I can do that for you every night. Oh yeah. Says Kenny.
And it's like, first of all, no, you can't, dude.
Right.
Like, you definitely can't. And I doubt that if we were together, I doubt you would even pay attention to my knees.
So this is a friendly reminder. Please. Mm-hmm. Don't put nasty stuff on people's comments. That's a sidebar. But
unless,
like,
you negotiate, basically, unless, like, you're friends with them, and, like, you know that what you're going to, like, I have comments all the time of people calling me, you know, honorifics, calling me, like, good girl and things. Yeah. And I always respond, you can't call me that. We're not in a dynamic. Right. And sometimes, and I say sometimes, I'm going to say most of the time, they'll be, like, dismissive of that. Or they'll say, like, I can do that. Or, like that's just what I call good girls. And I'm like, first of all, you earn that with me in general. Mm-hmm. But second of all, I don't know you. That's so weird.
Yeah, and it's really weird when I have, like, grown men like, yo, I would totally suck your dick. And I'm like,
that's not.
Did you not check the profile, first off, but second off, like, wow, you just got the balls to say that to a complete stranger on the internet? Like, yo, that's so.
I will say, AMABs are very, AMABs who are cis and straight are
assigned male at birth,
very are very forward with telling me the things they would do to me. And I'm like, look, go to my OnlyFans, tell me there, but pay me for it.
Tell me, but pay me. Like, pay me for my time.
I'll listen if you're paying me. I'm just saying.
Like, don't send unsolicited dick pics. Send unsolicited money, please.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, I will definitely take unsolicited money. Hell yes.
Yeah.
Shall we wrap up this discussion?
That was a great tangent.
Okay, so technically we have an additional a little bit more time.
Right.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
So the main thing to highlight too is, like, you know, we've talked about red flags, we talked about negotiations, and I wanted to hopefully corral us into talking about red flags in such depth, because another thing is addressing red flags, discussing how to fix or address red flags, even in the form of negotiation. And I'll use myself as a perfect example. There was a particular person that I was sexually interested in. And as a part of the aftercare, we were negotiating, say, what do you feel about sexual things? And at that point, that was a red flag to them from me, because their perspective was, I want to do this rope scene. It's going to be for science, because hashtag for science. It's going to be casual and stuff. But then there was like a sexual element that they weren't too in tune to do. So then they said as much as, like, yo, Orange, like, that's like kind of crossing a line. Maybe we shouldn't do a scene. So from that moment, me as a person who's trying to negotiate or working on or involved in negotiation who has crossed the line, I had to address the situation. And
I want
to
be clear, you didn't cross the line. You were negotiating.
Well, and you just got a result.
We were negotiating, but from the person, well, with more context in the situation, it ended up crossing a line for them for other reasons outside of me just mentioning it. However, it doesn't change the fact that at that moment there was a slight present because of a wording that I said. Mm-hmm. So in order for me taking full accountability, say, you know, hey, I apologize, I didn't know, blah, 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 or blah, 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 you know, whatever excuse was relevant for the moment, and then address the actual issue of, okay, from the sexual perspective, it's off the table. That's it. You're right, it's off the table. Would you still like to negotiate? I said to this person, leaving it open for them to decide, because it's not my agency at that moment. I want to make sure that they have all the agency. And in that situation, we were able to negotiate and do our scene anyway. But what I'm trying to say is that there are ways that you can be the red flag giver and then work within that framework to reassure the person that you're not... basically realign, I guess.
I both hear you, but I also don't think that you... I don't know the situation. You're telling me you crossed the line and I trust you.
Right.
But what you've described, mm-hmm. you just got a no, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not interested in that. And then you continued negotating.
It sounds like a yellow flag.
Yeah.
I would call that a yellow flag.
I'll go with that.
Fair.
Because, okay. you know, like a
you
red
were
flag.
You're offsides.
Yeah. But yeah, I would just call it a yellow flag because it was like... You didn't do anything so terribly wrong that it was like, and then y'all tried to renegotiate after that.
Yeah,
like,
I was
that would
say,
have been a big difference.
Red
of,
flag to me means stop.
Oh, I see. Fair.
Yeah.
If someone has a red flag in a negotiation, like they're trying to coerce me, there's really no return. I don't want to play with them. I don't want to fix them. And by the way, like I'm a grown woman. I don't have time to fix these people of any gender.
Mm-mm.
If people are messing up, it's not my job to fix them. I will them know. I'll say like, hey, the reason we're stopping this now is because you have now twice or three times or whatever, you have now several times tried to coerce me you've not acknowledged my needs or you've pushed a limit within this negotiation. I want you to know we're going to stop this negotiation and we're not going to play. And I want you to know this is why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll let them know. Unless I feel really unsafe, and then I will leave and contact the necessary people.
And I think that's good because the in conversation of things needs to happen.
Right.
You know, y'all, if it's a safe way to do it, like you do need to have the, we have reached a conclusion of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Like there is, that's the thing about a negotiation is like, you know, there's a conclusion to all these things. And sometimes.
Yeah, it could be that you're not going to play.
Yeah. And it's like, you could be that, okay, you know, we're done and we need to at least have that conversation. So,
which I'll also just interject because I do slightly disagree. I think we're done is all that's really needed as opposed to saying we're done because X, Y, Z, which if you're willing to put the
that
emotional
doing
labor,
that is extra. But I, what I'm saying is I do that because I don't want people going home and being like, not just deciding that I'm this bitch, which, like, right. Yeah, I definitely am. But, like, I don't want them thinking it for the wrong reasons.
Right,
like,
but exactly. To continue with what Denzel is saying, you were saying about having closure?
Yeah, I think everybody's closure is going to look different.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes the we're done is enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, you can say what you need to say. And you can say, like, hey, look.
Especially if you don't feel safe telling them. Exactly. Like, and if you don't feel safe, you don't do it. You just say, like, I got to go. That's why I tell people, negotiate in a public place where there are lots of people. And you can leave and you get to your car and you're not like, you know, like, be safe.
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut. I love it. Trust your gut.
In the last few minutes we have here, is it possible to talk about how to cultivate positive flags? Like, what is the best way to encourage or bring about positive flags?
Be a nice
in the very last, like, almost literal 5 minutes we have here.
I think we probably have even less than that. I mean, I think what we talked about before is how to bring those positive flags. You come with your checklist, you do some self-inquiry, you are prepared to provide your references and you're prepared to ask for references. I mean, you inquire about their needs.
You're okay with hearing no's to things that you might have wanted to do.
Yeah, and you let them know that. You let them know that too. Yeah. Like, hey, this is something I'm interested in. Are you interested in that? No, that's totally cool.
That's fine. And being able to, you know, acknowledge and understand. Yeah. I think the communication aspect is also key. Like, you know, communication doesn't have to be a, you know, 7-paragraph text. Right. But as long as the core components, what were the words, the desire and the intentions, as long as those get, you know, told and shared and everybody understands.
And everybody's on the same page.
Right. That's it. Yeah. That's
it. And as long as you let them know, like, this was our first negotiation, we can always come back to this.
Yeah,
like,
the renegotiation.
to leave with an anecdote from my own personal story, # make it about orange. There was a person there was a particular person where we did a scene and the first scene went well. And then we did a scene again. The second scene didn't go as well. But by the third scene, they were comfortable enough with me to say, okay, let's do sexual things too with toys and stuff. So then we did that and then things rolled along. And then now that person is one of my partners that I'm romantically and sexually involved with. So it can evolve and you can have negotiations that evolve over time. But if I were to assume the status of partnership, relationship, sexual access at stage one would have been a big red flag for that person because they've had situations in the past that did not end well. But by virtue of sticking to the correct guns on negotiating and then moving forward, I achieved a goal that I didn't really have, but it was nice. That makes you
a good negotiator.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, I feel like that's a movie. And
hostage negotiator.
Yeah, like, okay, that's a whole role.
Someone's listening to this being like, I was listening for hostage negotiation. I'm really confused.
But I'm also turned on.
Kenny, is that you?
Yeah, Kenny. Right. Fantastic. Well, this was a great discussion, y'all.
Oh, yes.
It was. I feel like
you ready to play us out there?
Ooh, that sets us up for what's on the closing out things.
What's on the queue?
Yeah.
Well, the next episode will be out in 2 weeks, so that's great. And we're going to talk about
Welcome to the play party.
Oh my gosh, we're going to talk about play parties. Ooh, oh my gosh.
So the negotiation
is really key before you get to the play party if you're planning on playing.
Continue to remember and follow us on Instagram and all the other things.
Yes, follow us on Instagram, Taking in the Scene Podcast.
Woo! It's us. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and close this out here. Thank you all for listening. Have a good day or night or whatever time period you listen to.
Time is an illusion.
Have a safe drive. Keep your eyes on the road.
And watch out for the fake DOMs.
Oh, right. Also, what am I doing? Sorry, Denzel, you're supposed to close this out. My bad.
Oh, I'm supposed to close this out with a word, right?
just say heterogeneous.
Yeah. Heterogeneous. I like the way water is wet. Just like a mouth. And you know what a mouth can do?